It sure is good to have you listening to the program Sermon and Song today. I hope you were with us last week. We preached last week from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, concerning the miracle of the increased oil in the widow's house. And we were talking just about one particular subject that's involved there. Later on, we'll probably take up some other things that are involved in that miracle. But the thing that is outstanding in that miracle is the faith of the woman who was a widow. Now, I think you remember the story, so I will not read it again. I'll simply just start reading it. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, that thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him my two sons to be bondmen." Now here is a time of tremendous need in this widow's life. She had no money. She had no way to pay the debts that had been made by her husband and her before he passed away, before he died. And here, the one who to whom she owed the money was going to collect the money, but since she did not have the money, he was going to take her two sons and make slaves out of them, make them bondmen. Well, this was extremely difficult for her. It was a great time of need, and she made her way to the prophet Elisha, and she told him about it. And Elisha said, "What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Just one pot of oil. That's all that is left." He said, "Then you go back home, you borrow all the vessels that you can from your neighbors, then you go in the house and shut the door, and you start pouring that oil in those vessels." And when she did, she started pouring out the oil. She'd fill a vessel, it would fill up, then she'd set that one aside. The boy would bring her another, and she'd fill that up and set it aside, and so forth, until all the vessels were filled, which was a miracle working power of God in that woman's life. Then she came back to the prophet and she said, "Now all the vessels are full of oil. What am I to do?" And he said, "Go sell it and pay your debts. And whenever you get the debt paid, what's left over, that'll take care of you. That'll be enough to take care of you and your sons." There is the great miracle that God worked through the prophet Elisha. Now we talk about the faith in this miracle, the faith of this woman. When she had a great time of need, then she needed more faith. And she exercised that faith by going to the prophet Elisha. And then she went to the right place to increase that faith. I'm sure she did not have as much faith after her husband died and the money ran out and the food ran out and the debtor came and knocked on the door and said, "I want my money, I want to be paid, or else I'll take your two sons." I'm sure her faith was at a very low ebb. But then she went to the prophet of God, and that's where you go to find an increase in your faith. As we quoted yesterday, Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And so she went to the prophet. Now, after she got to the prophet, she found out something that I think some of us need to know. I think some of us need to learn this. She found out that faith, real Bible faith, now I'm talking about the real thing, the right thing, the true thing. I'm talking about real Bible faith is not above borrowing help. You find in verse 3 that it says, "Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." In other words, however much her faith would allow her, she would not to just borrow a little bit. She were to borrow all the vessels that she had faith to believe that God would fill with the oil. And so she was not above borrowing help. She didn't have those vessels in which to put that oil. She didn't have enough vessels to contain the oil that God was going to supply for her. Therefore, she went out and borrowed those vessels. Now let me say this, in light of application from that miracle to your heart and to my heart today, we sometimes need to borrow help from others. Yes, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We can go to the Bible, we can have our faith increased, we can believe the Word of God, and we can cry over it, we can pray over it, we can study it, and we can read it more and more and more, but we are not to be above borrowing help from those who know more about the Word of God than we do. There's not a one of us. There is not a one of us, and I say that very sincerely. There is not a one of us who do not need to borrow help when it comes to having an increase in our faith. Now, I'm not talking about going to some faith healer. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about going to some faith seminar. I'm not talking about getting some sort of a faith program going somewhere with a lot of little incidental incidents that have taken place and testimonies that might have taken place in somebody else's life. What I'm talking about and what I believe is real and true and backed up by the Word of God, the Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And I believe when my faith gets weak, I believe I can find help by going to those who have stronger faith, by going to those who know the Bible better than I do, by going to those whom I love, those in my church. And by the way, that's God's program. God's program is local church. That's God's program. That's the way God planned it out. That's the way God set up the church in the age that you and I are living now, which is the church age, is that God's people assemble themselves together in the house of the Lord or wherever they assemble themselves as a church, as a readily organized group of people in a Bible-believing church, and there they have loved ones, friends, and fellow church members that they can borrow help from. In other words, when I have a great need, I want my Christian friends praying for my need. I want my pastor praying for my needs. I want the people on the radio broadcast praying for my needs. I want the people that I know, my loved ones, my friends, my brethren in Christ, I want them on my side. I want to borrow all of the prayers and all of the help and all of the encouragement that I possibly can. So the apostle didn't say, you go on back home now, and you go in your house, and God will create vessels in your home. Well, now God could have done that. God could have created vessels in her home to take care of all of that oil and more too. But he didn't choose to do it that way. He said, go to your neighbor and get help. And so I encourage those of you who are in time of great need. You may feel, well, my faith is too weak right now. I have problems right now really believing that God can work out this problem that I have, that God can meet this need that I have. Then as you talk to the Lord and as you go to the Bible, first of all, to get your faith from the Word of God, don't be above asking someone else to help you and someone else to pray with you, someone else to show you the Scriptures and help you go through your time of trial and your time of trouble and your time of needing faith. So real Bible faith, then, is not above borrowing help. Good advice. Be sure it's good advice. Be sure it's Bible advice. Be sure it's from someone who believes and trusts the Word of God, not someone who has trained in some sort of a psychological institute. You see, my dear precious friend, the Bible has the answer for all of your needs. The Bible has the answer. You may need someone to show you the verses. You may need someone to help you pray to have more faith to believe the verses in a stronger manner. But at the same time, the Bible has the answer. God has the answer. Don't go to the world for your answers. Please don't go to the world. Go to the Word of God. All right, so then we've learned that faith is really needed in a time of great sorrow, a time of great need, that the Word of God is the best place to find our faith increased, that faith is not above borrowing help, getting good advice, as to how we should work with our problems or with our needs. And then we find also in verse 3 that faith requires action. Faith requires your doing something. That's right. You act upon your faith. Let's look at that in verse 3. It says, "Then he said, Elisha said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." So first of all, he said, go. Get up and go. Don't sit here and wait on it to come floating down out of heaven. Don't sit here and wait upon me to wave some sort of a spiritual wand and take care of your debts. Don't sit here and wait for God to grow a money tree right in front of your eyes so you can pick the bills off and go pay your debt. He says, go, get out there and borrow vessels and abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. Don't just stop with one or two. Get all that you can, but go be doing something. Go be doing it. Get it done. Go on after it. Then that's exercising your faith. You know, that's one of the points that the devil confuses in salvation. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. The grace is taken care of. God's already taken care of the grace. That's taken care of. Jesus died on the cross because he loved us. He wanted us to be home in glory with him. He wanted us born again. He wanted us saved. The only way we could be saved was for him to die on the cross, that we might have eternal life in him. And then if we just say, well, I believe that, I believe he died on the cross, and a lot of mess is going on today, just stopping at the cross and not having faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But I won't take the time to deal with that. I'll just simply go on to say that it's more than just believing that Jesus died on the cross. You must actually put your faith in him. You must trust him, as I've said hundreds of times on this broadcast, as a bridge crosses a gulch or a river or a chasm, and it is long enough and it is strong enough, and you believe it's a bridge, but you will stay on this side until you actually go and put your feet on that bridge and trust your weight to that bridge. So now this is what the woman had to do. Elisha said, go out and borrow a vessel. She had to go. And it was faith that she went with. She put action to her faith. Action. We've got to put action to the faith. It requires action. It requires exercising that faith. Now that's not works. That's not works for salvation. Some would try to make you believe that anything such as repenting of sins or trusting the Lord or maybe praying a prayer or whatever, anything that we do to get salvation is taking it out of God's hands, and that God chose a certain few to be saved and some to be lost, and if you weren't chosen, you can't get saved anyhow, and if you were chosen, you're going to get saved, and so you can't do anything at all about it. But the Bible says that we are to exercise our faith, and that word faith meaning believe, to rely upon, to trust in, to put one's total confidence in. There is an action that goes on in our heart, not just in our head. There is an action that goes on in our heart when we put our complete, total faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then faith requires action, not just saying in your head, I believe, not just sitting there waiting for something to happen, but get busy. Get busy doing what you can, and then God will take care of the rest. There are some things we can't do when we have financial needs. There are some things we can't do. In other words, let me just put it very simply. If we must pay $1,000, if we owe $1,000, and we're going to be put in jail if we don't pay that $1,000 by the end of the day, and here we sit at 6 o'clock in the morning, we owe $1,000, we're going to be put in jail if we don't pay that $1,000 before the end of the day, there's not very many of us who could make $1,000 in a day. I dare say no one listening to me could do that. If I could get a job making $25 an hour, I couldn't make $1,000 in one day's time. I just couldn't do that. And there's some things you can't do. But I certainly should not sit there at 6 o'clock in the morning and wait for God to rain $100 bills down out of the sky for me. I shouldn't do that. I should get busy. I should go to work. I should make as much as I possibly can and then leave the increase up to God. Leave it up to Him to take care of the rest of it because I have that need and I presented that need to Him. So real faith then is not just sitting there looking toward the east. Real faith is putting action to your prayers and doing what you can for the glory of God. And then let me get to these other two before I close today. Faith shuts out the influence of the world. He told her when she went out and she got these vessels to come into her home and shut the door. Shut the door. Now that closed door meant that there was a difference. There was an inside and an outside. There was faith and trust in God and a miracle about to take place inside, and the outside needed to be shut completely out. You will not have the blessings of God as long as you will not have your faith increased. You will not have your needs met through faith as long as you don't shut the door, as long as you're still trusting in some of the outside things of the world, or as long as you are still living a life that has to do with the outside world. The Bible tells us very clearly that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the world must be shut out completely. God will bless those who will separate themselves, sanctify themselves, that is, in the sense of separating themselves from the things of this world, not loving the world, selling out completely to God. Those are the ones that God will bless and God will give faith. You cannot continue in your sin and expect God to bless you. You just can't do it because God hates sin. And then in verse 6, then it tells us, "It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." In other words, faith gives lasting results. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, it's for salvation. You trust Him completely for your salvation, not being able to save yourself. You trust Him completely for your salvation, entirely repenting and trusting Him, turning to Him completely. Then you are eternally saved. And then whenever God gives you blessings in your life through your faith in Him, after you have been born again and you have needs, the needs when God supplies them are lasting needs. In other words, they are permanent supply for your needs. So look to the Lord today and ask Him to increase your faith. And as you ask Him to increase your faith, don't forget, get all the advice that you can from God's men and from those who have more faith than you have. And at the same time, read your Bible, pray, trust the Lord, love Him with all of your heart, live right, and God has miracles for you in your life.